Time to talk footy. Conversation starter for the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV.
And off the Tempur-Tex, good morning, Gary and Tim. Excellent work on the chairs last night. Gary, great pickup on Tommy McCartan on the mark. I didn't see this. This is from Joel. What did Tommy McCartan do on the
mark? Love Tommy McCartan, but he got outmarked by Cale Hooker in the goal square. Cale went back to have his shot, and then Tom just stood there with his hands on his hips.
Mm-hmm.
No putting his arms up. No putting your hands up in the mark. Cale Hooker's, he's a very even money bet. You can't do that, Tim. I don't care what you're doing. You stand the mark, hands up, you work right. It, not good enough.
That's excellent work. Gee whiz. Oh, must have been a...
She's trying to do stuff that, you know, every other person doesn't do. There's a lot of copycatting going on in this industry. You run with a lot of stuff. Just take it and rebadge it.
I do want to run with a lot
you
of stuff.
You do rebadge a lot of the stuff.
I do want to run with a lot of stuff that you had on the chairs last night. One thing is, and we talked about this very early in the piece about the, you know, the game trends and where they're at 3 weeks ago. It is startling how they've changed in the space of 3 weeks. What have you got for me this morning? I know you had this on the couch last night, but what is it?
Well, we've been how excited has everyone been about the way the footy's been played?
Yeah.
So I think almost universal.
Free the Sheram, we've been saying.
So the stated aim was to move the ball from one end to the other, which was unbelievable early in the piece. So in round one, it was going from the defensive 50 to the inside 50, 27% of the time, which is a really good result. It's now down to 17. Right? So it's dropped significantly. The percentage of scoring from the back half was at 42% back in round one. It's down to 36.
Yep.
And then the stoppages, which everyone said, well, the best thing about the game is that it's moving, you know, freely. And there's there was on average 49 stoppages in round one. It's up to 60.
Right.
So all of these are back to like almost around the 2020. The numbers on the weekend were almost back to 2020. So there was always going to be a natural correction, wasn't there? What's your eye telling you? Did you see on the weekend?
Eye's still telling me that it slowed down a bit, but I'm still enjoying the game.
I agree with that.
Maybe it went too far the other way and it was freeing up too much and it's come back a bit. I don't know whether it's found its rightful or natural or the next level that we're going to have to get used to. But I said yesterday, Steve Hocking pre-season, you know, when we're talking about this and we'd only sort of seen the practice games, and I said to him, okay, what do you think? Mm-hmm. It looks great. He said, yeah, but there'll be a reaction from the coaches at some point. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah. Well,
and then they'll have to pull. This is what's going to happen, though, Gary. They're going to pull another lever because if they get bogged down again and they don't get the game that they think is allowing the ball to flow, then they'll pull another lever.
Yeah. Well, I think I think they'd be pretty happy with the way it's going at the moment. And they'll be monitoring all those numbers that we're seeing there. But the I spoke to some of the coaching staffs of teams over the weekend as well, and they in their own mind said, we as a club or we as in the industry got that excited about having that kick available to us. We just took it without thinking.
Yeah.
And then we took the next one and then the next one, and that's why it was zinging. Mm. And then on reflection, they look back and said, well, that's not always the best thing because it wears us out, doesn't give us protection in the back half. You know, the turnover numbers were huge, so they just – I think started to go a little bit slower, which I think the correction was always going to be there.
And if you talk about that West Coast Eagles St Kilda game, they got down by 33 points. Mm. They ended up winning by 20. So there's a 53-point turnaround.
Yeah.
And it also meant that if you want to take it, you can. At some stage in the game, if you've got to speed it up and take the game on, then you can.
Yeah.
And it's open to you to be able to do that.
Even more so because of rotation.
Yes.
Because the rotations are down, so players are getting tighter, and then as the game wears on, the last quarter comes in. If it's there and it's on and you want to back yourself, then you can go. There's almost a rope-a-dope mentality if you wanted to.
Yeah. Can we just revisit? I really loved your analogy. I know all jokes aside, but I really loved your analogy about where the Bulldogs' defence is at the moment. We'll play the extended version.
I'll paraphrase it. It goes too long.
This is the... What the Bulldogs are doing now, because they've got such a strong and powerful midfield, you're saying it's really protecting their back half.
So when you talk about the Dogs, you go, where's the weakness? They're on top of the ladder undefeated. You go, well, their midfield's probably the best in the comp.
I think it's deeper than anyone else's.
So their forward line now with English and Norton and Bruce and the complementary players is... it's proved to be better than adequate. So then you go, oh, maybe the back half is the problem. Gardner gets injured.
Young stepped up last week and was very, very good.
Yeah. And Luke Beveridge, he's not worried about it, by the way, but they these are all champion data stats. So they had a look at it, and they've had the fewest one-on-ones. So they've been able to play in such a manner that they're able to get back and help out, or their midfield is so good it protects them. Mm. But they've had 38 one-on-one contests, right? This is as a collective back group. Carlton and the Gold Coast Suns have been involved in 91. Mm. So there's your comparison.
Mm.
But of those one-on-ones, they've won the fewest.
Right.
So I guess what I'm saying is...
So if you can isolate them, yes, you can get a one-on-one, you've got a good chance of maybe being able to do better than just halve the contest.
Yeah, 38% they're losing. So all I'm saying is... So the analogy was thick, voluminous hair thinning at the back.
Right.
When you're thinning it back, you don't want to draw attention to it. So you do the comb over a bit. So they're not drawing attention to it. I reckon Luke Beveridge is probably not that fussed with it, but they are numbers where you look at and go, okay, can we get them in a one-on-one?
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, our chances statistically are pretty good.
Your best chance of doing that is to win the centre bounce clearance, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got the best centre bounce. Oh, they've got the best clearance team in the competition. So that was just a little take.
No, yeah. I liked it. I liked it. I'm not sure that Maury out there in Williamstown enjoyed it quite as much. He has a comb over. Good morning to you, Maury.
Yeah, g'day, Gary. I've got a bone to pick with you, young fella.
What's up, Maury?
Well, I've got a came over, and I'm a Bulldog supporter. Now, that came over, just like KB, has served me very well indeed. I've been married 3 times, so you could say I've been to the big dance 3 times. I've got 5 kids, and there's nothing wrong with a came over, and I think the Bulldogs will go to the big dance as well, Gary.
Hey, I love your work, Maury, this morning. I absolutely love your work, and they could. Because, anyway... You can make of all these what you will. I was just trying to assess where they're at. They're in ripping nick. They're in great form, and they are on top of the ladder. And you just, I don't know when they're going to win the next couple, I would think going forward.
Collingwood were a big talking point last night, obviously, across all the football programs. Where did you get with your conversation? I see that Tommy Morris actually raised the idea that there may have been some disgruntled players in the ranks there. Is that wrong?
Yeah, he did. I haven't spoken to Tom about that. He came on and did that report. He was pretty strong, actually. He went really strong. Said they're, they're in disarray or something like that. I'll find the actual... But he also questioned the relationship between Bucks and the players and whether it was, you know, he said...
That's a serious accusation to say that, though.
When he's talking about relationship, he said that they're growing weary of the emphasis on the emotional connection message.
What does that mean?
Well, exactly. What does that mean? Well, I would imagine that, you know, there comes a time some players want tougher love, for instance.
It's, right.
Yeah, you talk about, let's do this and have empathy and let's, you know, show your feelings, all that, which is great. But then you know that there are some times where players in clubs go, righto, how about giving us this and give us some harder direction? Mm. I'm just paraphrasing. But the same old problems exist. We spoke about this yesterday for Collingwood. We went away and had a good look at some of the stuff that they're doing. And
structurally, are they doing anything wrong, do you think?
Oh, well...
In the study of the way they're playing, what does it say?
It's the inability to score and convert opportunities.
And that's been sort of like a two-season problem.
And that's the frustration. And they had one period against Carlton, I think, where they did. They sort of addressed it to a degree where they... Remember, they were hitting up leads and clearly GWS looked at that and went to work. And you could see the vision last night that they pushed numbers back. So that got taken away from them. And then it was a bit, okay, what do we do now? So... I think everyone in the footy world, and Bucks flagged this after the game, is looking forward to seeing what sort of change comes.
Are you one of those advocating a change, a positional change for Darcy Moore? This is what Matthew Lloyd had to say on Footy Classified last night about sending Darcy Moore forward.
Talk about their forward line, Darcy Moore or Jeremy Howe.
It's time to let the genie out of the bottle with Darcy.
Does he have the courage to give up something in his defence to gain something in his attack?
Would you do it?
I would. I would at least release one of them. I'm not sure which one it is because they're both stars of the competition in the defence. But for the sake of the team and winning games of football,
Moore's the one. One of them has Moore's to the go. One, isn't he?
Probably because of his size.
He could ruck as well.
Yeah.
Well, you were a key centre-half back and a key centre-half forward. Do you think that they should do something like that?
I've been singing for this for a while, but I don't know if it's this week's the time to do it. Kennedy, Darling, Allen, Waterman. I don't know whether you want to be taking Darcy Moore from your back six this week.
That would be brave.
Well, it could be brave or stupid against this particular forward line. Mm. Like on other occasions, I've been really strongly advocating for it because I think you cut your cloth depending on who you've got. And if your matchup is there and you know, the Crisp can handle it and Roughhead can handle it and Howe can handle it. My criticism has only been, well, there's your opportunity. I've watched Collingwood games sometimes and they're down by 5 goals halfway through the third quarter. The matchup forwards seem to be throw. That's when I would love to see them throw forward. So I don't think they've been adventurous. Other people would say, well, that's one of their strengths is that they, you know, they're predictable to each other. I would like to see a bit more dare and a bit more adventure and in their game style. But I don't know whether taking Darcy away this weekend against West Coast over there is going to be on the radar.
Where are you, buddy? There he is! He juggles the mark at the front. He's 35 metres out. It's straight.
Touched off the boot. It was smothered. And it's game over. And the Swans have won a ripper. Another classic between these two. The Swans win it by 3 points.
There's something about the Swans and the Bombers, no doubt about it. I think it was 25 points down at one stage. Sydney, the young Bombers jumped them and looked to be going very, very nicely. And then
Force took control then.
The master coach went to work, pulled a few strings and got the exciting victory in the end. And they're undefeated. He's been good enough to join us. Johnny, welcome.
Hey, guys, Tim.
We love it when you come on. You're a great friend of the program. I'm not sure. Maybe you did. Did you see undefeated after 4 rounds when you were planning for the year?
I don't. You actually don't sit back and, have a win-loss record in mind, Gaz. You don't sit back and think, after 4 rounds we'd like to be this and after 8 rounds we'd like to be that. It's sort of furthest thing from our minds. And so you sort of... What I was confident in and have been for a couple of years is our playing group. I've been confident with them and confident in the work we're doing over summer. And you just hope that works the right way for you at the start of the year. You're not 100% sure. You need a few things going for you. But we've been obviously pleased at the start.
Yeah, that's a stupid question by me. So I've been clipped nicely there, Wiz, which is fair enough. Can I ask you then about...
Silly way to start.
Can I ask you about the kids who we all looked at and thought, my Lord, how good are these? Did you expect them to have the impact they've had in the first 4 weeks?
Better question.
The blokes that we've had for a couple of years, even a bloke like Warner, it was really difficult for him last year. No one sort of saw him much in the season that was had by those first year players last year because of the we were on a hub and they were playing in scramble games but it was 11-11, 12-12 type games they were playing at reserves level but what we saw we really liked and we gave him a couple of games last year. He's obviously come on this year. The three draftees have been very important from last year. So they've added another bit of depth and quality to our team that we, has been a really of a big benefit.
John, is Errol Gould, is he special, do you think?
He's a good player, Tim. He's a really good player. He's smart for a first-year player to come into the team and he gets it. He's really engaged. He understands the game and, for a young first-year player to come in and understand what's going on and be a competitor like he is. There are a couple of wonderful traits. To understand the game and be a competitor first year is a big tick for him.
We had a good laugh last week, Gary and I, talking about him. There was a stage in that game against Essendon after a goal was scored or they missed or whatever, and he sort of called Buddy and some of the other guys forward. It looked like he was actually in control, telling them exactly how he wanted them to set up after the centre bounds. And Buddy almost had a look on his face and say, who is this bloke telling me what to do?
Yeah, I remember the vision. I actually spoke to him just before he went on, and I was at an important point in the last quarter. And we had a chat, and the good thing about it, I thought the same thing when I saw the vision. He went on, and he was just letting them know, which is great. I mean, that's really good. I mean, from a young bloke's perspective, to understand and carry out the instructions is that's what he's got. He plays with that sort of level of maturity for a young bloke.
I loved it. We heard about Buddy. We keep learning about him, and he's quiet and an enigma, and doesn't do much media. But his love of the younger kids and the recruiting process and keep me abreast of what's going on. I mean, how hard was it not to have him play that third game after you'd done what you'd done in the second? He would have been just beside himself trying to get on the end of Goulden and Blakey and Warner and all the rest of them.
Yeah, look, going to the MCG against Richmond, he's a competitor at heart and he loves those big games and playing against the best team. So, and on the MCG in particular. And so he had all that going through his mind. But really, the decision was made for us. It was sort of something we'd spoken about a number of weeks ago, and we just stuck to that process. So you know, it was important to do. He would love to have, you know, deep down, he would have loved to have played, but he also understands the longer game is really important for him, and him and us. And so he's smart. He's been around a long time. He knows what he's about.
John, do you think you're going to be a better team now on a bigger ground?
I don't know. Don't know, Tim. You know, on the weekend up here was really wet, and sort of that can get lost in a little bit with the on the telecast and get really wet and slippery. And so it can be, those games can be just a really hard, punishing game. And from that perspective, I was wrapped with our ability to be able to find a way. 25 points down, a pretty wet, slippery, and particularly in the second half, it got really wet. And being able to find a way to get over the line, I thought that was fantastic for our Bikes.
Some disappointing news, though, has come to light. That is the loss of Dane Rampey. He's going to be out probably for a month with a broken finger, but I believe that he actually injured it in the lead-up to round three. Is that right? He played round three with it and then again at the weekend?
Yeah, that's right, Tim. He did it at training on the Thursday before the Richmond game. And we were hoping he'd be okay and his mobility would come back and he'd get a bit better, but it just hasn't. It's like last year playing with his broken hand. He's as tough as they come. A massive competitor. We talked about it last week and thought, you know, if he was able to get through the game on the weekend, the Essendon game, the 5-day turnaround, that he probably would need the operation, and that's what he resulted. He had that operation last night. Disappointing for him, but we need to get him right. I mean, you know, the finger was just not moving as it should be, and you don't want to be the rest of your life like that. So, we had to get it fixed.
Tom Hickey has been really good in the ruck for you. The ruck whisperer, Steve Talbot's no longer at the club, but I believe is he not doing private sort of tuition and mentoring with Tom Hickey at the moment? Is that the reason behind Tom Hickey's success?
his private tuition extends to me and I keep him away from the players. he doesn't mind telling me what's going on. Didn't put it that way. He's very good at giving me advice.
And me too. How many calls do you reject from him each week, do you think, at the moment?
I know. He's got plenty of advice. And I happen to walk past the academy and see him out on the training ground at times. And it takes him an hour and a half to walk over from the middle of the ground just to let me know what's been going on.
We're with John Longmire, the coach of the Swans. Will Gould is one. I mean, all these kids keep coming through. I remember when he was drafted, he's a really solid halfback who looked like he'd benefit from a really good preseason. How's he going? Where is he at?
Yeah, he's still picking it up as much as a few of the younger boys. And that's, they all come along at different rates, Gaz. And I mean, he's only a second-year player. And so some of them come on really quickly. Some of them still working on their craft, and he's still working on his craft and developing that. So he's coming on pretty well and learning all the time. I mean, it's just only because they're big bodies doesn't mean they're ready to go at AFL level. So he's certainly working through that. And, you know, there's no doubt we'll need him.
Yeah, it's great though, isn't it? I mean, we've seen the ones that we've seen, but the ones that we haven't seen that continue to develop mean that things are exciting. Hey, can you describe Logan McDonald's personality for us? We haven't never spoken to him. We'd love to at some stage. We love what he's doing. What sort of kid is he?
Laid back,
is he?
He's got a twin brother, and he's the one. He's a laid back member of the family. He just he's competitive when he trains and competes really hard, prepares really well, but he's pretty laid back and takes in any stride. So yeah, he's got a great temperament, really, really good.
Hey, John, a broader issue around the game, and obviously the game was pretty hot early days. The ball was zinging around. Gary just has looked at the game trends, particularly over the last round of football, and it started to slow back down again. Is this what you thought would happen to the ball movement?
I just think as the season settles, it gets a bit wet and slippery. I think everyone jumps to massive conclusions after one or two, weeks, and traditionally what happens is it usually takes that six, always use the 6 to 8 week mark as a bit of a guide of what's happening in a trend in the game. So I think everyone just jumps around and makes these massive statements at the start of the year, and the reality is it's pretty hard to play that sort of footy all the time, and so you need to make sure you take a deep breath. And I'm certainly a believer of about the 6 week mark, you get a bit of an idea, and I think that it'll settle down a little bit, just the way things happen all the time. Is, you know, once the season, the winter time starts to hit, it's a bit harder to execute.
Your team, though, has been one of the big scorers of the competition. Are you expecting that you'll come back a little bit too? Were players probably taking more liberty in terms of their play-ons and their advancement down the field than what you wanted them to because the space was there?
No, I don't think that's the case. No, we were really happy with the way we were playing, but there's an opposition out there, and they try and stop you every week, as we do the opposition when we play them. So that's got to be taken into account. And sometimes opposition are doing a really good job of it. And so we like to do that to our opposition as well. So I think that's got to be taken into account, as well as just the natural, you know, when winter sets in, it's just a bit different. That's the way it always been.
Mark Williams has been good enough to join us on the line. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Gary and Tim. Yes, aren't I a lucky man to be popping up at a club that's won four in a row?
Well, or is the club lucky to have you, and then they've now popped up to four zip?
No, the fact is I'm thrilled and just so thankful to get the opportunity to be involved. And it's a wonderful place, a great coaching group and a great group of players, and really loving every minute of it.
What do you enjoy most about that role now, or being back at AFL land?
I sat and talked to, I was out on the MCG having a kick before the game with Greg Stafford. We're checking out the which way the wind was blowing, and just to think that you still have the opportunity to be out there doing that, the things you love. And obviously I've been involved in footy forever, and as a teacher, you know, the opportunity to teach the technical stuff to the players and to be able to develop players, see them improve, you know, that gives me great joy.
And Mark, we keep hearing from people that, you know, have been away from the game, from the AFL game, the elite game, for a period of time. You know, everything's changed now. You know, you need to have these new younger people in that do it in a completely different way than what it was done previously. Is that true? Is that how you've found it, going back into AFL football?
No. You know, there's certainly a bit more technical stuff in regard to the game plan and the running patterns, all those sort of things. And you know, we whether it's Troy Chaplin or Adam Uzo with their offense and defense stuff, you know, they take care of that. And Greg Stafford with the forwards. But you know, I look at the technical stuff in regard to things that we'd all know. Can you kick? Can you win contests? Can you tackle? Can you apply pressure? You know, make sure that they understand the game plan. You know, they have to be smart enough to be able to recognise the situation in real time. And obviously, you need to be able to run. And, I think they are pretty consistent, those four things. And, you know, those, you know, if you can do those, you're going to be a really good player and you're going to be a great team.
So this, I always have this thought about coaching when I think about it. If you can win their hearts, you win their heads. Is that something that you subscribe to? Are you a relationship builder first, so that you get comfortable with them, they get comfortable with you, they see where you're coming from, and then you can get them to do anything?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. I think you need to be genuine with them. You need to point out things that they need to improve on. But certainly, if you don't recognise and praise people and respect what they're doing and then reward them, it won't work either. So everyone wants to improve, and they don't just want to hear what's the matter. They want to know what the solution is and then hold their hand to get there. And that's the sort of stuff that I like to do.
So take us through a typical day, if you can, Mark. We're talking with Mark Williams, the development coach. I don't know if that's your official title or not, but can you give us a sort of a snapshot of what your day would be?
depends on what day it is, but generally during the week it's I look after the development of all the players, so whether it's the oldest player or the youngest player, trying to make sure that they understand what they need to do to improve, just see how their welfare is, check with that as well. But at the same time, then it's talking to the coaches, they're in charge of the lines and individual groups of people, where I'm looking and saying, well, they probably need a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and, you know, working together with them so that, you know, the drills are all ticked off and covered. And then, you know, is it under pressure? Is it easy? Is it hard? Can we add something? Can we, you know, keep tricking the mind to make them motivated to keep doing things, but they're not quite the same all the time, so that there's always a little variety to it that adds a little edge to it. It's always, you know, bringing it closer to the game style and the actual game environment so that they can handle it under pressure.
Mark is...
Then we do, you know, craft sessions. I also... the David Neitz Academy, the DNA Academy. So I work with the first to third year players, and we do a variety of things in regard to just making them, you know, sound citizens and also understanding the game plan. But also it might be you know, working with computers and understanding how they work, and you know, so I teach them some life skills as well, which is also fun.
So important too. Who runs the Gary Lyon Academy there at Melbourne?
Well, that's the advanced version of the David Neitz Academy. We haven't got to that yet, but I know that I talked to Gary not too long ago about having him come to talk to the first year to third year players, and you know, he quickly put his hand up and wants to be involved. And you know, I'm completely thrilled with that. Great teams, and you know, as Melbourne being a wonderful traditional club. To have ex-players around the place, it's just great, and that's what the players need to see. And I'm fully supportive of all that, and try and get as many people as possible around the players to tell their stories, because storytelling is so important to the beliefs of the club.
We had Kane Corns on yesterday. He talked about your coaching techniques and some of the quirkier things you did. He spoke about a car driving around the field with the sunroof open, and you had to get players to kick into the sunroof. Are you still rolling with that one?
No, I haven't tried that yet, but there's always something that, you know, I'm mindful of it. Try and find a different way, and try and don't be satisfied. If people can't do one particular thing, look for another reason, another way, another solution, bring other people in, seek expertise. You know, I was watching... Japanese guy win the Masters, and you know, the way that he was preparing with his putting, and I was videoing that and showing it to all the coaches and the young players in regard to perfect preparation and feedback and all that stuff. And you know, I don't care where it comes from. If there's a great technique or a great idea, I'll certainly throw it past the group to see if it hits anyone and you know, inspires someone to get a little bit better.
Mark, what did you pick up with Matsuyama's putting technique? What was it that caught your eye?
Well, the fact is he brings the ball back, brings the club back perfectly straight and delivers it straight every time, just like you have to do for goal kicking. And, you know, whether it's shooting darts or goal kicking or you know, free throw in basketball, it's about routine and about being able to deliver it under pressure.
Hey, Gary, you've got a photo there that was taken, I think, pre-game.
Yeah, there's a photo of you out. I don't know whether you've seen this photo, but AFL Media, I think, took the photo, and it's you and Neville Jetta. I'm assuming pre-game, and you're leaning into him, and your heads are touching, your foreheads are touching. Now, you may not even remember the moment, but it's a beautiful snapshot of, I think, the impact that you are most likely having on this group. Can you remember the moment?
No, you know, prior to the game, I'm just talking to Neville about, you know, his performance and where we can get to and how important he is to the group. You know, he's played an unbelievable role with helping Cozzy Pickett and everything. You see, Cozzy, he and Matt Whelan have done a wonderful job. You know, Cozzy's been through some real tough times in the last few months, and to be able to deliver what he's doing, it's a real credit to Neville as much as Cozzy. And Neville's form has been fantastic, so we, you know, I love the Aboriginal boys. I have a great connection with them, and you know, we're getting some great results, and look forward to them playing better and better every time. And you know, as I said at the start, you have to be genuine with people, and if you have that real connection, you get great results.
Hey Mark, some of the clubs and coaches have been talking about the COVID-19 effects on the finances at football clubs, clearly, and being under-resourced in football departments. How have you found that? Do you think, or is it what you remembered when you were back coaching at AFL level?
Well, last time I was coaching with the Richmond group, and you know, very similarly, I can see lots of parallels with Melbourne, you know, a club that hadn't succeeded for a long time and then start to get a bit of a spark and belief in each other. And it's amazing where you can get to. But, you know, back then we had three development coaches. We've got one now. And, you know, so you're probably doing a little bit more work. But, you know, the opposition analysis, I heard Bevo talk about, you know, not much time. You know, we have one guy there, Sam Radford's doing a great job, you know, providing oppo. But you do spend quite a lot of time. But that's everyone loves it. Everyone puts you know, football right up there in their priorities. And if you want to be in it, that's the sort of time you spend. So you know, I've been really enjoying it. You know, our members, I'm sure, are starting to see something. I got great joy walking off the field after the game and looking to the members and, you know, seeing how happy they were, the faces, the smiles, and, you know, just thinking about how many more people are out there. I can remember the great times in Melbourne and, you know, Melbourne Collingwood games, how you know, the oval and the grandstands would be full. And I just know that they're sitting there waiting to see, and we need them to sign up and jump on and really enjoy the ride as it's coming along, because, you know, a lot of exciting times are coming ahead very, very soon.
Is the fire still there for you? Would you, having stepped back into it now in the role that you are in the AFL role, the elite level, is the fire still burning internally for you to want to be that coach again, the AFL coach again?
No, honestly, I really enjoy doing what I'm doing. It's so rewarding to see young players and all players, the whole group. You know, Goody's such an open and easy to talk to coach who's just soaks up information, wants to chat about, you know, what you might do, what do you think here. Some senior coaching talk that, you know, between Richo and Goody and I, we can always help each other and reflect on things that have worked in the past. And having people that are open to suggestion is just a great environment to work in, and one I'm really enjoying.